Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon about the story of Hannah.
I was raised in Southern California, and I remember those days when it's crystal clear, but there are not many of them. There was a lot of days of smog. I remember those days, particularly in the fall, when it has been weeks, maybe months, since we have seen anything clear. And then there's that day. There's that day when it rains. There's that day when the wind comes, and suddenly that which was smoggy and hazy suddenly becomes clear. And you can always tell who are the new people in town, because it often catches them off guard. They move there maybe in the summer, and now they wake up and there are mountains there. And for some, it's very disorienting. Some people, there's reports of police being called because people are panicking. They woke up and there's giant mountains out their window. There are people who call and claim that there are UFOs. It is so disorienting. We thought it looked like this, and now this is the way it really is. All of which is a great setup for our passage this morning with Hannah. Hannah is that moment of clarity. Hannah is that person and that song that cuts through the haze, the fog, the confusion, the grief, the frustration of life, and says, here's what it really is. Here's what's really going on. Have you had one of those moments? I know I have. There are those moments where you just go by with life, and then there are the moments of clarity. I remember the time when somebody came across and says, you know, the kingdom of God is the kingdom of right relationships. And I remember how it just struck me. It was like you open the windows and pull back the curtains. It's like the fog lifted, and everything became clear. How about you? What are those times that became clear for you? Because that's what Hannah's doing here. And that, in fact, is what Hannah's role is in this story. Earlier in the week, I sent out in our newsletter, I said, go on to thebibleproject.com and click this link, because there's this little link here of explaining in 5 or 6 minutes Hannah and then the whole, how that relates to the whole of 1 and 2 Samuel. And I'll let you do that. And if you don't know how to get onto that, just go to office@newhopepres.org and say, I want to be part of the newsletter. Or you can just go online right now to bibleproject.com. It's worth it. I'm not going to go into all that detail, but I will say this. Hannah is the key to understanding not only all of Samuel, as they contend. I believe that she is, and this song is the key to understanding maybe the entire Old Testament, possibly the New Testament. What do we know about Hannah? Why is Hannah this person? Well, Hannah isn't anybody important by the definitions of her day. She is one of two wives, not uncommon. She bears no children. Very uncommon back then, and a source of great shame in those days. It's always painful, but back then it was a source of ridicule, and it was a source of your worth of whether or not you could have children, particularly sons. The other wife had lots of children, lots of sons, lots of daughters, and ridiculed Hannah and let her know that she had been forgotten by God. So Hannah goes through this long ordeal and prayer, and then she becomes pregnant. And then she breaks out into this song. I want you to imagine the song that you might break out into if maybe you were an expectant first-time mother. What kinds of things would be in there? Probably not the kinds of things that Hannah is singing about. At one point, she breaks out and says, the woman who was barren has now birthed 7 children, but the mother with many sons has lost them all. Awkward, right? I mean, the neighbors come over and Hannah sings this song, and you can just imagine them thinking, I just wanted to know if you're, you know, registered at Target. But then she goes on, and that's the clue that this is more than just a song about Hannah, that this has deeper roots. When she says, the bows of the mighty warriors are shattered, but those who are stumbling now dress themselves in power. Those who were filled full now sell themselves for bread, but the ones who are starving are now fat from food. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand that the story of Hannah is being used to illustrate a larger point. And in fact, it's being used to inform and to be the clarity for the history of Israel. The nation was in Babylon, this nation that had been part of the God's great plan, and it had started off with such great promise, and now it seemed like it was at a dead end. And there's moments like that for us too. Yes, we are talking about being on the path of the beloved, and sometimes it's very clear where we are, and then sometimes we get on those places where it seems like we're going nowhere, and it seems like the whole project has come to an end. Where's God? Ask Hannah. Hannah will tell you, because she says at the beginning, God is at work. God is the one who raises up. God is the one who takes down. It's God who is at work. And if you don't understand that God is the one who opposes the proud and lifts up the lowly, if you don't understand that God is the one who vindicates the forgotten, that God is the one who is opposing evil, and it doesn't matter where it comes from, whether it's from the outside or whether from ourselves, then you won't understand the story of Israel. You won't understand the prophets, for sure. You won't understand the entire scope of the arc of the Old Testament. You probably won't understand much of the New Testament either. It's not for nothing. It's not a mistake that hundreds of years later, Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she finds out that she is pregnant and she breaks out into song, that song sounds suspiciously like Hannah's. As if to say, I understand that what God is doing here is to fulfill what Hannah was singing about, what God is going to do, and what this son of mine, this chosen, this anointed one, is going to do. The question is not, is God at work? The question is, are we working with God? And maybe this morning we're needing some clarity. We're needing some clarity that God is the one who is still at work. Maybe this is a moment of challenge of how I am aligned or not aligned with what God is trying to do. Or maybe this morning, right now, it has to do with comfort and courage to be able to express the cry of my heart to God and know that God is at work and God, I'm not forgotten, and I can entrust myself to that God. Whichever for you, let's take this moment where God is at work and reflect on, where does God need to be at work in this world and in us? Let's listen. God is at work. And God is at work in this story through Hannah. And God is at work in this story through Hannah's prayer. Before there was the song of Hannah in chapter 2, there is the prayer of Hannah in chapter 1. And it too is part of the key to understanding the whole books of Samuel, the Old Testament, the prophets, and the New Testament. Because it is in this story and in this prayer, Hannah pours herself out. Prayer changes things. I don't know how prayer changes things. I can't prove it. My mind can't wrap itself around, but I'm clear that prayer changes things. Having said that, I'm also pretty clear that prayer doesn't change God. When we pray, it's not a transaction. It's not, if I pray the right way, with just the right attitude, right faith, with the right words, and I catch God on a good day, that God is somehow going to grant me what I've asked for. There's a lot of nonsense that parades itself around in spiritual clothes with just that kind of an attitude. But what's really going on is that prayer changes things, but it often begins with the people who are praying. Because prayer is not passive. Prayer is not that kind of a thing where I give it to God and now I ask God and now it's all up to God. When I pray, what I'm really doing is I am giving voice to the Spirit of God that is working in me and praying through me. And I will pray long enough that I will get clearer and clearer to what God is up to the point that I can get to the ultimate prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth even as in heaven. And then I don't leave it there. I participate in it. Prayer is an act of trust, but it is also an act of participation. It is a way of enlisting in what God is looking to do in this world. Even when I don't see the answer right away, even when I may never see the answer. There is a series called Lenox Hill. It's about a hospital. It's a documentary about a hospital in downtown New York. And there's two parts of this hospital. One is the obstetrics, where babies are born, and the other is neurology, where they deal with some of the hardest of the hard cases. They deal with the kinds of things that we do not have answers for yet, and the types of cancers and types of conditions and syndromes for which we just have nothing yet. And so these cameras, they go back and forth from these scenes of where babies are being born, and there's joy, and then it goes to the agony of the other side of the hospital, where time after time, treatment after treatment, and they keep trying, and it doesn't work. But they keep trying. There's a conversation that I found powerful, and it goes like this. It's the doctor talking to a family who has tried everything, including the latest experimental things, and it's still not working, and the doctor is grieving with them. And then he says this. He says, but I want you to know something. He says, this suffering, your suffering, won't be wasted. That what's happening here is going to contribute to someday we don't have to have these kind of conversations. It's going to contribute to a cure. And I thought, that's it. The reason I pray is the same reason I work, is because I want to be a part of what God is doing in this world. I want to know and I want to align myself with what God is doing. There's a passage where it says, and God remembered Hannah. There's a couple ways, of course, to understand that. One is from our perspective, as if God had forgotten Hannah. God's a busy God, you know, and can't pay attention to everybody, and Hannah's kind of a no account, and so, oh, one day I'd forgotten about Hannah. Now God remembered Hannah. But of course, that's not what it means, because God knows Hannah, just like God knows you and God knows me. We don't pray to get God's attention. We don't pray to get God on our side to appease God. We pray to align ourselves with God. And when it comes to remembering, I had a conversation this last week with Rabbi Joe Charnas, and we were talking about this word, and we were talking about this passage, and he reminded and instructed and said, you know, in Hebrew, that word always comes. It's never just a mental thing. It's never just like, oh, I forgot, now I remember. It is always tied to an action. It is an action that signals that this person has been remembered. It's a way of saying this person is honored. It's a way of saying, I will not let Hannah be forgotten. I will notice, I will make sure that this person is raised up. And for our purposes, it seems to me, in our prayers, it is a way of coming to the God who already knows who we are and already knows what we need and entrusts it. But the other part of that is, if we are letting God work in and through us, it is beginning to do the work of God to look for the Hannahs in our world, to look for the people who are forgotten, who are dismissed, who are invisible, who no one pays attention to. And maybe what this passage is talking to us about is, this week, begin to notice, begin to let the prayers of God work in you and through you, God, to give voice to through your heart for the suffering, for the Hannahs of this world, and then to give yourself to their care. How will you notice them? How will you honor them? How will you let them know that they are not forgotten and they are seen? Someday, we will have answers. We will have answers to the deepest cries of our heart. We will have answers to the Alzheimer's and all the cancers we don't have answers to. We will have answers to the schizophrenias. We will have answers to the war and to the hunger and to the thirst and to the pestilence that still is so much part of our world. We'll have answers to hate. It will come through the prayers that change things, beginning with the people who pray. It will come to the day that someday that will happen, and that we will all be able to rejoice, and all of creation will be able to rejoice because God is at work. All you have to do is ask Hannah. And it begins with prayer.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.